Good morning, Source family. Wow, thank you. I did this last week downtown. I did not get anything back. Well, my name is Catherine Meyer. I'm the Executive Director of Neighbors in Action. And I'm very grateful to be here today on this Neighbors in Action and also Volunteer Appreciation Sunday. And so I want to start by reading the scripture of today, which comes from Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." This is the word of God for the people of God. All right, so just a few minutes ago, we heard from my sister in Christ, Karen, or Karen, how she was pronounced in the video. Karen is one of the women who attend Neighbors in Actions regularly, and who's also one of our greatest volunteers, as you've heard from her. Karen's life was very difficult. Her life in Honduras, I'm sure you have heard stories about gang violence in Central America. And in Honduras, the homicide rate is the highest of all of Central America. There's about 40,000 gang members responsible for human trafficking, for murders, for money laundering and violence. And it also, Honduras also faces other challenges such as, you know, food insecurity, human rights violations, and poverty. And Karen, like many of her before, felt not safe in her hometown anymore because she saw like how the neighbor's sons got pulled into the gangs. She saw how little girls disappeared. And she has two little kids herself, they're 4 and 6 now. And so she decided to keep them safe, and she undertook the arduous journey of over several months to come to the United States in search for a better life for her children. When she got here, she felt very lonely. She was very scared. She came without her husband. She didn't know anybody. She didn't speak any English. And when the first time she came to NIA, as you heard, she was invited by a neighbor. I could tell she was very discouraged. She was very defeated. She was very depressed. But then over time, she started getting involved in our Sunday night worship service that we have. Then she started getting to one of our mom's Bible study groups. She started participating in a small group. And then she was just everywhere all the time because she is like, "I just feel God's presence here. I feel God's love here. And I just feel he's healed me through all the other women who are here, who share in God's love for me, all the care I've received." And so as you can hear in the video that, you know, when she was talking about, she just has felt this transformation, and we've seen it in her. Now she walks in straight, not like hunched over like before. She praises God. She sings in our worship band on Sundays. She goes and helps other people. There's a lot of other refugees that come from Central America all the time to our neighborhood, and she goes out, and she does not have a lot of money, but she will be the first to give food to a family who just arrived, to take in another family in their one-bedroom apartment while they can get on their own feet. And, you know, she helps in the kitchen, she cleans up, and she does it with so much joy. And that is a testimony for a lot of other women who come to our center who have undergone the similar traumas of gang violence, of insecurity, of not knowing how to protect your children. And so I know a lot of you have known Produce Then and Neighbors in Action for a long time. A lot of you have been supporting us, but just in case you're new to this church or you're not yet a part of First Methodist, let me give you just a little bit of background information. So Neighbors in Action, or NIA as we call it, is located in Port Houston, which is a 97% Hispanic immigrant community that's also 98% low income. Neighbors in Action was created by the youth ministry of our church in 1995. They started off with a vacation Bible school in the park, and from then it's just been growing. In the beginning, it was like once a week, a busing ministry that took kids from Port Houston downtown and would teach them Bible lessons and give them a meal. And since then, we've opened a center in the neighborhood. We have programs 7 days a week, and we work with all age groups from children all the way to seniors. We do a lot of faith-based programs, educational opportunities, and also assist with rent and utilities, and all that is geared towards Hispanic immigrant families. You should have received a flyer when you walked in because I could stand here all day listing all the different programs we do, but if not, you can grab it on the way out, and it just shows you all the different areas which we invest in. But to me, what is most important about NIA is that we partner with the community rather than, like sometimes, and I've done this too, we mean well, but we enter into a relationship that can be kind of unequal, like a service provider versus service recipient. And we really try to be a partner, to empower people, and to know that I don't know anything better about your life than you do yourself. So we really try to have the community be invested and really take the lead on a lot of things. So like Karen, a lot of our moms serve as community volunteers because they have received healing from God and they want to pass it on to others in the community. And like with Karen, their service to others does not come from a place of abundance. It comes from a place of own need, but that need understands the suffering of other people. I've been in awe of people who just share the very little that they have and have so much more generosity than, I mean, they put me to shame a lot of times in what they give in the circumstances that they find themselves in. And so, like I've heard somebody once say, which I love, we think we take Jesus to the poor, but we really find him there. And I've had a daily opportunity to find Jesus in the people in Port Houston before whom I stand in awe because they have so much faith and resilience and compassion for in the face of everything they've overcome, and they invest this in other people. Finding Jesus in the poor and oppressed also brings me to the scripture of today. I wanted to share a picture with you by Fritz Eichenberg, which is called Jesus in the Bread Lines. It's a painting I have on my night desk to remind me daily that it is Jesus here who is lining up among other hungry people to receive food. In the scripture we just read, Jesus is the one who identifies himself with the hungry, with the thirsty, with the incarcerated, with the abused. We can expand the list to really anybody, you know, to the immigrant, the foster child. And to me, the beauty of it is that God reveals himself in this passage, not as a God that sometimes Old Testament authors maybe saw in him, a God who cares deeply for his people, but who's still a little separated from their suffering in that sense that he's on the outside. No? But in today's scripture, Jesus reveals himself as a God who suffers from within each of us, who cares so deeply from the innermost part of our beings. And so we're invited to experience a God who has bound himself inseparably to us, who cannot be separated from us. And this is a crazy kind of love from a God that is so lavish, that just outpours, that makes himself so one with us that he cannot be separated. He tells us today they were forever part of him, that he's connected himself forever with us. And that, I think, is the greatest hope of our lives. And that gives me comfort when I see suffering, sometimes unimaginable suffering, that so many Neighbors in Action families have gone through. And sometimes I'm helpless and I feel I can't help myself. I can't help, I can't do anything. But when I know that God has made himself one with that person, then at least I have something of hope that I can share. And a lot of people that I've encountered find comfort in the fact that God is one with them in their suffering, that God knows exactly what they're going through, that God is with them in each situation. And I also chose this particular scripture for Neighbors in Action and Volunteer Appreciation Sunday because it informs how we are called to serve as a church at NIA, at any other place we do at the church and out in the world. And how we are called to serve is indiscriminately, because Jesus makes it very clear that he is in every person that we encounter. And that radically changes how we are allowed to see other people. We like people to put people in categories like good or bad, holy or ungodly, success or failure. We put them in our racial categories. We say, you know, black and white, Hispanic, Asian. We talk about American citizen versus undocumented. But to Jesus, this is not important. To Jesus, every person is connected to him, and we are invited to see Jesus in every person because it is him. And Jesus talks in the scripture about that he is king. I mean, when we read it, he's not just, he talks about his royalty, and so that means every person we encounter, we need to treat as royalty as well, or that's how we ought to. And at least in our hearts, I know sometimes we can't help every person, you know, we can't visit every prisoner, we cannot alleviate every suffering, but we can see every person as this royal, as the royalty, as Christ, really. And that includes people we would rather not, whoever that might be for you, certain political candidates, maybe you fill in the gap, or you know, just the neighbor next door who is really annoying, or even, you know, when I talk about my work, there's people very skeptical about working with immigrants, especially, you know, when it comes to the discussion of immigration status. Or even the heartbreakingly lost teenager who took so many lives this week. They're people who we think don't deserve our mercy. They don't deserve our love. Our tendency is not to want to see Jesus in those people. But Jesus didn't say, when you visited me as an innocent prisoner. He said, when you visited me in prison, he did not talk about the innocence of that person. And Mother Teresa once said that the biggest challenge of our lives is to encounter Christ when he comes in distressing disguise. Jesus shows us that we will not be judged just by our faith, but also by our concrete actions towards every human being in our lives. And I think seeing Jesus and loving everyone with that love is only possible when we truly, truly search for Christ in that distressing disguise, when we can manage to find love in our hearts even for the most undeserving person, and when we treat every person as Jesus. And Jesus promises us true life, because when we encounter Christ himself, we know that he is the truth, the way, and the life. And so we can find Jesus through our neighbor. There's a danger to sleep through our lives, to focus on ourselves, to circle around ourselves. But Jesus invites us in the scripture today to live boldly, to love boldly, and to live with great determination.
You know, when we talk about, and I'm just really going to echo what Catherine said, because she got to the heart of it, is what it means to be the church is to understand that people need people. And we are called in a specific way to live in a specific way into that need as Christians. And that is, as Catherine reminded us, to see Jesus in them. To see everyone as we would our Savior. Karen quotes Matthew 20. Jesus says, "I have not come to serve, to be served, but to serve." When we talk about NIA, when we talk about when we celebrated the volunteers just at the 10 o'clock hour with breakfast tacos and all these things, we don't see that the way the world sees it. Because the world has plenty of places where they do charity, they do volunteer work. And so many times when we say those buzzwords, charity, volunteer, mission, right? We have these kind of notions that pop into our head. But there are plenty of places in the world where doing charity is about feeling good about yourself. Where volunteering is really about making you feel more comfortable where you are in life. What you have. About being grateful for your stuff and your things. But just as our Savior came not to be served, but to serve, we live in that same way. We know that volunteering, that serving is not something that is optional, but that we as the church are called to live so fully in love for other. Because we understand that we are the body, that we are the people, that we are the community of God, and all are invited into that space. And that when we serve, what we're doing really truly is loving the wholeness of who we are. That who I am is not separate, is not other than them, but that when I love them, I am complete. There's some really good books out there. One's When Helping Hurts. It talks about charity. And it really tries and challenges the world to look beyond just handing something out. We need to see Jesus in the bread line. But the thing I love about hanging out with Catherine, and I'll share my own experience, is one time we went and we just did like a meal together, and somehow someone put me in the cooking pot. And that was a giant mistake. You can ask Whitney. It's not my skill. But what I was finding in that space was the mothers surrounding me, helping me out a lot. But we laughed, and we were a community together. We have to look beyond just relief and embrace that part of that is restoring work, empowering work, that we go out in the world and we tell people that we see worth in them because we have been told through Christ they have the most significant worth. And we will live so boldly and believe that so boldly that nothing will hinder us from extending that to you. Serving isn't, yes, when we serve alongside, we laugh and we find joy and we find gratefulness and we find community, but we also find challenge, conviction, and calling. What Ron said, I think, so captures really the heart, right? He's an accountant. He could have all the reasons just to sit in an office and get his work done. His job is not about networking. It's not about people. It's about numbers. But all those things that he listed, what you'll find is he knows that part of what it means to be a Christian is not just sticking to what you know, but realizing that people need to be known. They need to be heard. Kids who are struggling with adult things need a place where they can talk. Not someone who's just paid to be there, not someone who's obligated to be there. They need to know that someone came because only and only because they care. You know, we have gifts. We can have nonprofits. We can have churches. We can have salaries. And all those things are wonderful. But at the end of the day, if those things don't exist, this church is still called to be the church. We're still called to gather, whether there's a budget or not. Budgets help. They're great. But at the end of the day, our job is to treat people with dignity, to show up and to make sure they know we're showing up just because we care. Sometimes that means stepping into the gap and providing the meal that needs to be provided. Sometimes it's walking alongside and doing the algebra homework, helping people grow in their education to be empowered. And sometimes it's stepping back and letting them use their gifts, them show themselves how much worth that they have. Let them do, even if you could do it and you think you could do it better, to get out of the way and let them be empowered and developed into people who will go and be servants in the world. You can scan that code, but I only want you to scan it if that's the heart that you're entering into. There's plenty of places in First Methodist where you can serve and you can do all those kinds of work. There's plenty of places in our city at NIA and all across the city where you can do that work. But the thing that will separate that work being rooted in the gospel or rooted from yourself is if you enter it in with compassionate love and a desire to show people their true worth in Christ. So I hope that you do that, that you step into new ways of serving. I hope that for those of you who are in the midst of serving, that you feel encouraged to know that it's not about having the perfect thing at all, but that you're living into it and you're allowing yourselves to be challenged and pushed. But the most beautiful thing of all is that we can all take a breath and realize that in the journey and in the discovery, the gospel is taking root. Not just in where we serve, but in our own hearts and our own places of conviction and calling. The most beautiful thing about NIA is it's not a place where people are just given things, but shown, no matter what the world may tell them about who they are, that they truly are significant in Christ, that they have the solutions to their problems, that they can uplift and care. They are empowered by the work that's done in that space. They are the church. They are the church with us. They are the church that challenges us, and we are the church that loves and celebrates with them. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ways in which you speak to us through others. God, is that we go into the world to serve and to try to follow your example. God, that you are in that holy place, shaping everyone involved in new ways, showing us how truly significant those around us are found in your sight and how significant we are as well. Lord, we are grateful for the ways and the work that you've done in this community, through this church, through the lives that have lived in service to you. God, we pray that you would unfold that in new ways, that you would continue that work in us, that we would know that the work is not finished, but ever before us in new, joyful, calling ways. Embolden us to see, Lord, not just something to do, but the way of Christ. We give this time to you. We give our lives to you. It's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.